Right now it is time for a visit with our good friends David Scribner and Marcy over at Marcy Cello at the BerkshireEdge.com. The BerkshireEdge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We find out lots of news and information and events going on in and around the South Canada area and beyond. And we have a good time speaking to them just about every Wednesday. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
And how are things up in South County? Did you guys get much wind the other day?
Yes, we did. The tree that had fallen on our house now got blown off the house.
it was wild down here. It was, and normally windstorms are accompanied by other things, but it was just wind. Well, I'm glad you guys are okay, and I'm glad your house is okay. So
right. Well, it was a small tree. It had been perched there since the last windstorm. It hadn't done any damage. It just was lying, from the front walk, from the front lawn onto the roof. But now it's crashed down into a bush, so it's probably done more damage with the bush than to the roof.
Amazing. All right. Well,
anyway.
No tree is small when it falls on a house, I can tell you.
Okay. Well, no tree is small.
When it falls on your house. No, I'm sorry. All right. I look at a tree out in front of my house all the time and say, well, that'll be interesting if it comes down. Well, anyways, let's talk about what we've got here in front of us. And I'd like your first topic here. So how can we concoct a news lineup without dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic? There's two things that hopefully we won't have to deal with in the news. One is, we already know we have to deal with it very little. But COVID, you're right. It's going to be quite a change for us all when we don't have to deal with this.
Well, yeah. Well, the state education chief here in Massachusetts, James Jeffrey Riley, the education commissioner, he's saying that he's calling for elementary school, public schools, to return to full in-person learning by April. That's what he's insisting on. So he at least is seeing a light at the end of a pandemic tunnel.
I speak with our Region 1 superintendent Lisa Carter all the time, and I always give these folks the work they put in last summer to prepare for this year. It was unbelievable, and it was all a roll of dice. And I think that all our schools have done a terrific job in handling the way they've handled it. And I know, especially for Lisa Carter, this is her first year as superintendent. I know that once they get past this, no matter what happens, you're going to be cemented for just about every job. I just give all these administrators and teachers enormous credit for the way they've done this. They really have done the best they can in a no-win situation.
That's true. They've threaded a needle here, between their commitment to teaching and also protecting kids, and themselves.
That's the whole thing. That's you want to talk about a dedication to essential workers. That's just there. And also give credit to parents, doing their best and informing schools. The communication, I think, has never been better between parents, students, and the schools than it has been during this pandemic. So.
Well, it's had to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's had to be. Now, I want to get on to this story because I found this story great. I've been thinking about this a lot. Great Barrington's received that grant for a recreational hiking path for bikers and hikers to avoid using, the corridor with the very busy route US 7. That is a great story. That's money well spent. I always love when you see money spent like that in a community.
I think Great Barrington has a history of promoting its recreational aspects, and for example, I know that one of the longtime selectmen was an avid biker. So you'd see them biking a lot. So I know there's people on the Board of Selectmen who are in favor of these recreational trails. And they've opened up some really interesting ones, but this is another link in this wonderful network that they've created.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting to see. In Millerton, the rail trail now goes up, and in Sharon, even the Sharon Rec Fields, they put in a walking trail around it completely with everything else. I think the towns that deal with recreation and recreation facilities for not only the children but everybody in your family, a very wise investment, because with more and more people moving here, they like these. Everybody who wants to come to a community wants something for everybody, for their family in that community.
Right.
Well, this is the grant that the town got was for a path between the recreation center and a hiking path up Monument Mountain, up Route 7. And now, if you wanted to do that, you'd have to go along the busy Route 7, walking along the margin of the road, and so this is going to create a path paralleling that road, which is great. Actually, there used to be, oddly enough, there used to be a trolley line between Great Barrington and Pittsfield, and the remnants of the roadbed are still there. And so they're going to take advantage of that.
And build on top of it.
So
that's what they did with the rail trail and, you know, in Salisbury. Salisbury has a great greenway that goes where the railroad used to go from Lakeville into Salisbury. And you know what? They're very well used, and they're used by, you don't have to be physically fit, because most of them are flat, very well maintained.
Yep.
And it's just a great part of growing up in a town where you know you have town that has other things that aren't quite visible to the eye, but boy, people use them, and I just think that's money well spent and well granted.
Well, we think that rail trail, it's the Hudson Valley Rail Trail, is fantastic. We take our bikes down there all the time.
It's amazing what it's done for the small towns along it.
Yeah.
It really has.
It's gorgeous, and now I think it's going to be able to, pretty soon you're going to be able to go from New York, probably to New York City, to Albany.
It's absolutely amazing.
Although it means we won't get any trains.
Well, there's other ways to get trains, that's what makes the Route 7 corridor so important. And I think eventually, especially with the pressure of people moving in here now to get out of cities, I really think it might take 5 years, it might take 10 years. I think that Route 7 corridor all the way from Danbury up to Pittsfield will be operational sooner or later.
Sure hope so.
You mean
as a train,
ferrying people back and forth? It's people are moving back into the country, and they still
want. You mean the Housatonic Railroad?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly right. And that's there, and that will hopefully be used in the future. Now we're talking.
It goes right into Grand Central rather than Penn Station.
It initially goes to Danbury, and then in Danbury you can decide which direction you want to go to, whether Grand Central or and on the other side of the river, it's Amtrak. So I mean, trains are going to play a big part in the future around here with people moving back into the area. We're talking about trains, and we're talking about hikers. Talk about spring
and gardening.
Yes.
Yeah, how about that?
We have an article about community-supported agriculture, or also known as CSAs, and how CSAs support local farmers. And, this is a terrific system, these CSAs, community-supported agriculture, because people buy shares in farms, and then it supports the farmer who gets the financing in order to plant. And the investors get terrific produce all summer long. So so we have an interesting article about how they work and who are some of the major ones. Not necessarily all. We haven't included included all because we got a letter that we hadn't. But, you know, we've certainly made the point that this is a terrific system and definitely worth supporting.
Yeah, you buy
win-win.
Yeah, people buy shares in a local farm.
Yeah,
and then they receive they receive farm products, whatever it is, for their investment.
And so you receive the bounty. Yeah, you receive a portion of the bounty. It's
right.
Yeah,
yep.
And what is better than fresh seasonal local food? Well, really think about this. There is nothing better than fresh local seasonal food.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it all was up until the 50s when Swanson came along. But well, that's a topic for another matter. Okay.
I'd forgotten about those.
Now, what happened?
Frozen
Swanson.
Dinners.
Remember Swanson frozen dinners, and those aluminum trays.
TV dinners.
Oh gosh.
You can sit in front and watch TV and eat a frozen dinner.
Right. And most of the time, the potatoes were always cold. All right.
I don't know. I never had them. Well, my mother continued to cook.
Well, my grandmother did, too. But when my grandmother passed away, that was it.
TV dinner.
That was it. All right. let's go on to a cheery note, and that is your business writer, Julia Dixon, her survey of Berkshire businesses.
Yes.
Prize.
Yeah, you know, we have a Business Monday section now. I mean, we try to make sure that we're covering businesses and we concentrate them on Monday so that people who are interested in business can find the articles together. And Julia Dixon, who is one of our business writers, has done a very nice story about how retailers are optimistic about the spring. She gives a number of examples of businesses who are preparing.
Yeah, and she surveys the businesses up and down the throughout the county, which is interesting. It's interesting how business people are pretty optimistic about the future, and I think it's because they're confident that the vaccine will prevent the spread of the disease and allow people to once get back to their routine lives.
Well, I think the great thing, and I was talking about this earlier, and I talked about it yesterday with another guest about the vaccine, is I got my first shot on Monday, and I'll get my second shot towards the end of the month. Whether or not the vaccine works doesn't even enter my mind. It's just the reassuring fact, okay, I got the vaccine. That just, we could be placebo or not, it doesn't matter. I think that changes your whole outlook, and I think that's why business people changes the whole outlook with business people,
well,
too.
Well, I hope so. You know, we also have another article on Business Monday by Trevor Forbes, who runs a capital management company in Lenox called Renaissance Investors. And he is concerned that we will have heavy inflation as soon as the pandemic is over. When people start to buy again, prices are going to go up, and so things are going to be more expensive. That could put a damper on enthusiasm, because I think there's a lot of pent up, not emotion, but pent up desire.
I think
for people to go out and shop since they haven't been able to.
I think there's a pent-up desire for people who, when they're sitting around the house, when they're vaccinated, and they can make a spur-of-the-moment decision to say, you know what, I want to go and window shop, or else, you know what, I want to go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to plan a million different things. So I think that's why businesses are looking forward to this, and also, There have been new people that are coming into the area.
Yeah.
There will be, if the weather's decent, there will be more people vacationing in this area because they don't want to travel far. So really, if everything works out okay, this should be, and they deserve it, all these retail shops and restaurants, they deserve it, and all these theaters. There will be, hopefully, a great summer ahead for them because they deserve it.
Right, they do. I mean,
yeah.
And we are going to put out our, you know, print magazine again this spring. I mean, you know, and again, that's because we really do have the feeling that people will be here, people will be doing things. So we're taking the chance because it's expensive to put out a magazine if nobody picks it up. But, you know, all signs seem to indicate that it's going to be a very busy summer. Now, we've also been in touch with a lot of the, you know, the cultural organizations, and they are really still very up in the air. I mean, I spoke to a theater company yesterday who said, you know, they will have a season, but they still have no idea what it's going to be. So, you know, I think the concern is, you know, they may plan a season and nobody may show up. That there may be some things that, you know, people may still not want to come in, you know, indoors.
Well, there are restrictions on audience,
yeah,
too,
right.
That may still be in place.
And, of course, yeah.
Despite the fact that people are getting vaccinated, it's you know, precautions are still going to be, you know, in place to protect people. So
right.
it's going to be difficult for these venues to know how to plan.
Yeah, there's,
right, because they have the same costs but fewer audience members.
There is no, it's right there. This is not going to be an instant. All of a sudden, the floodgates open. It's 100%. But I think once people start have that onus, that dark cloud away from their head, that all of a sudden they're not so restricted. I think businesses will be on the up and up. And by the end of the summer, if everything holds true the way it's going right now, they'll be back to at least a steady business where, okay, they're a little prepared now to get through the winter season. And I think that businesses will even find ways to work deeper into the fall season and the winter season once people get back to normal.
Well, that's a possibility of just extending the shoulder of the season.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think anything's possible.
Maybe, well, there's limits to that.
Yeah.
Because of the weather.
Well, and also people get back to work. I mean, they you know, they can be here in the summer, but they may not. They have kids that go back to school and so on and so forth. So, you know, we'll see how the audience, whether there's an audience, actually.
Yep.
And, of course, we haven't heard yet from the big kahuna, which is Tanglewood.
Yeah.
There's been no announcement about what their season and no programs sent out or anything. So it's...
It's wait and see.
That's the engine that drives it all.
it's wait and see. You're absolutely right.
No, they waited and saw last year, too. They didn't make a decision until well into May, I think, and then they shut down.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We'll talk a little bit more about COVID here with the your story about David Edwards, the composer. And he's also a music
writer.
And he's
our music reviewer also.
Very talented.
Guy.
A very interesting guy, and he's written some music for these times.
For a ballet dance.
For a ballet, yes.
Yeah,
and
dance music.
He calls it the COVID Dance Project.
And he says, you know, that ballet dancers are trying to shoot video performances, and they can't, you know, they're not making any money, they're not getting paid, and they can't afford to pay for music. Because music has royalties, you know, and so he is providing them with music that they can use so they can dance and video themselves. And
it's free music.
Free music that
free
he
music
wrote, right.
That he wrote. And he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
He's kind of a Renaissance guy, actually. And he's a good writer and very interesting fellow.
Yes, we were very happy to find him.
So this is a really interesting initiative.
Yes, it's terrific. So I mean, so we have done everything we can to publicize it.
Yeah,
we have a big article about it, and it's there on the edge. You can take a look at it, and I think you can you listen to the music, David?
There's
probably a link.
Yeah, there's a link.
Yeah.
So dancers can just, they can just actually access and take the music that he's written
and use it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, your final story is on COVID, but it's a good COVID story once again. It is, I know that I have spent more time cooking. A lot of people have spent more time cooking. And you've got a recipe here for Yankee shrimp and grits.
Great.
Well, all right.
Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, though, that this Bob Luhrmann, Lumen did an article about cooking chicken in a southern way. I forget what it was exactly. We had more people visiting that article. I mean, it drove our readership up 1 month, like 20,000 above normal. And most of it was because of this one article on how to cook chicken. So there's something that he's got a following. It's terrific.
Well, when it comes to food, I joined. I even joined a website for people. And one thing I noticed about it, this website is not a great website, but it has literally thousands and thousands of followers. They ask the dumbest questions, but they're all because they're not cooks, and they found time to have. They've been forced to learn how to cook, okay, in the pandemic, and it's almost like gardening now.
It is.
So
I mean, I have I am searching constantly for recipes because we haven't really gone out to eat at all, and we haven't ordered in that much.
It's one of those results of the past year that's created the entrepreneurial spirit in not only people with businesses, but also people who've been sitting home saying, you know what, I'm going to try something different. So we'll see what happens.
Well, this is a good place to start.
That's exactly right.
Well, we have to Yankee shrimp and grits, which is a very southern dish. So, and tasty too.
Absolutely.
And he's got a great line. He says, "This is for his fellow Yankees whose knowledge of grits is limited to their reference in My Cousin Vinny." You remember that movie?
Absolutely.
Very funny movie where Marissa Tomei comes to this small town, and the first thing she says is, "I bet the Chinese food stinks in this town." And they talk about it looks like a good recipe, actually.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our show. We're out of time already.
Happy eating, everybody,
and happy reading theberkshireedge.com.
Yes, happy reading, definitely.
And stay safe out there.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
That is this week's edition of the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio.